This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast brought to you by AvsFam, AvsFam.com. Go check out some of the cool shirts they have there and get one. It's the only place you can. They're awesome, you're awesome. Get together, make more awesome. So the season has come to an end. We have driven that into the ground. We have beat that horse. But you know what? Now it's time to have a look at the contract situation and understand exactly what we have in players and for how long and what our commitments are to them. If you are the kind of person who cares deeply about dotted I's, crossed T's, and decimal points, then I highly suggest you have a listen to the BSN podcast. I am certain they will talk about what we're about to talk about today. And if that's not your cup of tea, then go check out the Burgundy Brigade. They do the same thing. They go deep and they care about decimal points. I care about round numbers and general ideas, and that's what we're talking about today. The Colorado Avalanche have many contracts to consider, and they have some players who can be moved, some players who can't be moved, and some players that I hope to God they move. We're going to go through a couple of them today. And you will know that we've moved from one player to the next when you hear this sound. Starting with contracts that are expiring, let's have a look at Andrew Bodnarchuk. Because I believe that Andrew Bodnarchuk will not be with the Colorado Avalanche past this year, I want to say this one more time. How much wood could a Bodnarchuk chuck if a Bodnarchuk couldn't chuck wood? There, I said it, I'm over it, I'm done. Here's why I don't think that he's going to be back. One, he's really not that good. And two, I think that we're going to improve our D-line enough to where he would be sitting out the entire time anyways. He's 27 years old, he has 3 years experience, he's got a one-year contract for $650,000. That is firmly in the release range and highly not in the get anything for a trade range. Here is the one exception I'd see to that. He is 27 years old. He's probably not getting a contract with any other team right away. Maybe he's willing to play the two-way player game, sit in San Antonio for a while until there's injuries, and then get another shot with his team. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but if there is a scenario, that's it. Mikhail Grigorenko, or Griggs as we've all come to call him, will absolutely have a contract next year. He is currently a center, 21 years old, 3 years experience, 1 year contract, which is expiring at $675,000 cap hit. Griga was absolutely a project when he came in, and this project has panned out. He is playing good hockey, he's getting better all the time, and he brings some stability that I think the Avalanche really need in that bottom six. If I had to guess, he'll get a 2 to 3 year contract at about $1 million per year. Jack Skilly is actually one of my favorite players, but I'm not convinced that he'll have a contract next year. He came on as a professional tryout. He's a two-way player. He's 29 years old right now, which means he's kind of reaching his prime. And while he brings a lot of size and some good speed to the team, he hasn't really shown the ability to finish. And I think that we need somebody who can finish. The scenarios in which he does stay, I think, are one where we see somebody like Cody McLeod leave, or we find a spot on the bottom six where we need an energy guy who can be trusted with a defensive role. But like I said, there's a lot of left wings in the organization right now, and I think that a young kid might come up and bump him right out of the lineup. True, he could go play in San Antonio, and that might be something that he wants to do, and then he could always play the injury train where he maybe gets a ride up to the Colorado Avalanche, but I don't know if that's for him or not, and I think other teams have seen enough promise in him that he might find a home with another team if that's what he wants to do. But let the record show that I am a Skilly Vanilli fan, and I wouldn't mind seeing him stay. And then there's Andreas Martinsson. We call him the most interesting man in the world. And it's not just the mustache. He's actually really an interesting dude. He's a left wing, 25 years old. This is his first year in the NHL, and he has a 1 year contract for $742,500. Marty is widely considered an Everberg upgrade. Everberg had a lot of potential, but then he failed when he stopped playing a physical game. Martinsson went down the same path, but then he kind of got it back together towards the end. He started playing like, hey, maybe I'd like to come back next year. Now, as lovable as Marty is, let's be honest, he is a bubble player right now, and he's probably not going to see more than $1 million per year, and he's probably going to be on a two-way contract for 1 or 2 years best. Martinsson is a big body, and he does have a little bit of a mean streak. He can put the puck in the net, but he never finds himself around the net long enough or having enough ice time to actually put that puck in the net. So I don't know if he's in the Avalanche plans or not, but let it be known with this guy as well. We like him. He's pretty cool. I dig the mustache. But because this is a binary game, I am going to go on record as saying I think he will be back. I think it'll be a short-term contract. And if I was Marty's agent, I would give him this advice. Bring the hustle, bring the muscle if you want to play. Calvin Pickard. If we don't sign Calvin Pickard, people will riot. There's no doubt about it. People love some Calvin Pickard. Picks absolutely won the job from Retro Bear as a backup goaltender, and there's some people making the argument that he should be our number one goaltender. To that, I say not yet, and if you want more details on that, check out the previous podcast. Today, we're talking about contracts, and Calvin Pickard is going to get a long-term contract. Now, that long-term contract has two purposes. One, it locks him up to be our goalie of the future if things go that route. And two, if not, it gives us good trade bait. If we have a goalie locked up at a good price who shows a lot of potential, other teams are going to want that contract. They're going to want that goalie and that contract, and that gives us options. I'm not saying I want him gone, but I understand where the Avs might be looking on this one. Currently, he's a two-way player. Next year, he will not be a two-year player, and that means he's going to be on the roster full-time, which means that Retro Barra is probably going to go have a picnic. But for Calvin Pickard, the future is bright. Expect a contract, expect it somewhere in the $2.5 million range. The people who are really into this game and like to look at prospects and look at our farm team, they're going to know who Ben Street is, but many of you will not. And Ben Street is a 29-year-old right wing. He has no experience in the NHL, and he has a two-year contract worth $1.3 million. That breaks down to be about $650,000 per year, and I think that we're likely to see him traded or to live out the rest of his career in San Antonio. Zach Redman. He's had a really interesting career, actually, and the fact that he's still playing hockey is really pretty cool. But the fact of the matter is, he's coming into his last year of a contract with the Colorado Avalanche, and at 27 years old, with 3 years of true experience in the NHL, he cost us $750,000. I'm not sure that that's going to be worth it for the Avalanche anymore. I think that Redman might go the way of Bodnarchuk. They might find a new home or spend an awful lot of their time in the AHL. So here's a name that many of you haven't heard much of lately, and honestly, I don't know if he ever played a game for the Avs or not, but Jesse Winchester. Listen, I hate when a player has to end their career because of concussions, but I think that is the case for Winchester. When he came along, I was actually pretty excited. He seemed like a vet who could come in here and give us a lot of energy and some leadership, but then he got concussed and game over. Unfortunately, I think season over as well. He's coming into his last year of the contract, which will cost us $900,000. His original contract was 2 years at $1.8 million. Nothing bad to say about the man. I just hope that the rest of his life goes well. And then we have dramatic music because we have some drama. We have a couple of free agents who we actually like quite a bit, but which one to keep? The one we're talking about right now is Sean Mathias. He's a left wing, 28 years old. He has 8 years experience in the league, which is a lot, but he's still a big, fast body. He makes exactly $2.3 million per year. And to keep him, we're probably going to have to pay him something upwards of $1.8 million. So if you're going to go to a guy who makes $2.3 million and say, hey, I want to give you $1.8 million, you have to give him something that he needs. And as a 28-year-old left winger playing on the bottom six, he needs a sunset contract. He needs the kind of contract that he can leave the league with, which means he's going to want years. He's 28. He probably thinks he can play until he's 35, which means he can probably be relevant until he's about 31. A three-year contract at $1.8 million seems reasonable if we want to keep Sean Mathias. But then there's also Mikhail Bodker. Bodker is 26 years old. He's also a left wing, 7 years experience in the league, and he has a contract for $3,750,000. That's a lot of money. And guess what? He's not going to accept any less than that because other teams will give him that money. So if we decide we want Bodker, we're going to have to let Mathias go probably. If we decide we want both of them, somebody else is going to have to go. And we have some things that we can't get away from on contracts. So the idea that Bodker is going to stick with us, I love the idea. I don't think it's a reasonable one. I don't think we can pay him enough money. We're not a contender, like I said earlier. If we did find a way to sign him, I think we're looking at somewhere around $4 million for at least 3 years. And in my mind, the number one reason that he might be worth that money is because he can play with Nathan MacKinnon. He has the speed, he has the skill, and he has the hands. Eric Jelena is another player that came by the way of free agency. He's a defenseman, 25 years old, 3 years experience in the league, and he's coming in his final year of his contract, which is worth $1.575 million. So two things could happen here. One, Jelena needs to prove that he's the kind of defenseman that deserves that much money and more. Playing with the Avalanche for one more year could prove that he is that good of a defenseman, and then he could move on or he could get bigger dollars from the Colorado Avalanche. The Colorado Avalanche, on the other hand, have to consider, is he going to be that good, and should we sign him for a longer term contract now at a lesser dollar because we believe in him that much? But there's danger in that, and that danger we're going to talk about a little bit later with a guy named Beauchemin. But as for the future of Eric Jelena, I think that he will play his one more year here with the Colorado Avalanche if he doesn't get traded for us to move up in the draft rankings. Cody McLeod, you know, people love him or they hate him. And mostly the people that hate him are the guys getting punched in the face by him. I happen to love Cody McLeod. He's played every single game of his NHL career with the Colorado Avalanche. That's 8 years. He has a 3 year contract still in place and he makes $1.3 million per year. I would argue that he is worth his money in leadership and toughness when he's playing his role. When he's playing above his pay grade, which is the majority of this year, it's a little tough to argue for that money. I personally would like to see him play out the rest of his years at that rate with the Colorado Avalanche. Another player that everyone loves to hate is Nick Holden, and Nick Holden does have his issues, but they're not all his, and like McLeod, he could definitely play at his pay grade and be pretty good for it. He makes exactly $1.65 million per year, and he's going to have 2 years left on his contract by the time he plays hockey again next year. But that said, I would not hold my breath that he's going to be here next year. I think that he is actually worth a little bit of money on the trade tables, and I think he might bring a pick or he could be a throw-in for some other deal that we're trying to make. If Nick Holden is still with us this time next year, I imagine it's going to be a bottom pairing, and I imagine he'll be good at it. And then there's Tyson Barrie, or T-Boobs, as the guys like to call him in the locker room. The development of Tyson Barrie has been an interesting thing to watch. as the guy who everybody thought was going to take a backseat to Stefan Elliott, he stepped up and played the kind of hockey that the Avalanche needed. But for a team that desperately needs some shutdown defense, he's not exactly the guy you're looking for. But his offensive upside is so good that I cannot imagine a scenario where the Colorado Avalanche don't sign him for as long as they possibly can. He's 24 years old, he already has 4 years of experience under his belt, and I only see upside for this guy. I think he's going to get better defensively, and he's already got that ingrained offensive ability. Currently, he costs us $2.6 million per year, but that will not be the case if we sign him again. Barry's agent is the known nemesis to the Colorado Avalanche, and if we're going to sign him, it's going to be a long-term deal, and it's going to be upwards of $5 million, probably closer to $6 million per year. He better be worth it, because I'm pretty certain we're going to do it. And then there's probably the biggest name on our list of people to be signed. His name is Nathan McKinnon. He's 20 years old, 2 years of experience, and his contract expires this year. Nathan McKinnon is a restricted free agent coming right off of his ECL, which means that we are allowed to offer him a bridge contract. If dollars were donuts and we could offer him as many as we wanted right now, we would. We would lock him up long term because he's going to be great. If we're being honest, though, he wasn't that great this year. Not as good as his sophomore year either. I think that he has a lot of growing up to do, but I think that he will do that, and he's going to be as dangerous as ever. The one thing that Nathan McKinnon needs to bring to the table? Poise. For that reason, I imagine he will get a bridge deal, and it will look something like $4.5 to $5 million, maybe as high as $6 million, depending on how crazy the Avalanche get. But the fact of the matter is, we don't have a ton of money to throw at this guy right now, so he's going to have to sign something that we can honor, and he's going to have to earn his way to getting that longer-term contract later. Like Tyson Barrie, I cannot imagine a scenario where he's not playing for the Colorado Avalanche next year. And that brings us to the worst contract that the Colorado Avalanche owns since bringing on Patrick Waugh and Joe Sakic. Let the record show that I am not mad at Brad Stewart. That said, I don't really want him on the ice or playing for this team, and I certainly don't want his bloated contract. How bloated, you might ask? Oh, $3.6 million that we could use to sign some other people right now. I don't know what we can do about this. I really don't. I'm sure there's people out there that know some scenarios that may work out, but I don't know what they are, and this is probably the worst case scenarios to have a guy like Brad Stewart who's not playing but costs us an awful lot of money. Chris Bigras had his coming out party this year in the NHL, and he played some pretty good hockey. He has a long-term contract right now that's going to last him a couple more years, and that's where he's going to either earn his money or earn his trade. I have a hunch that he could be a really good player, and he might be a guy that we want on the team long-term, but time will tell. For now, it's a non-issue. Another non-issue is the contract of Nikita Zadorov, or Big Z as we like to call him. He will not become a restricted free agent until the 2017-2018 season. Currently, he's a guy who's been sent down for some humbling and came up seasoned. I think he's going to be salty next year, and he's going to be a mean dude to play against. I expect to see him on the team for quite a while, honestly. And if the Avalanche get a chance to get another really huge, monstrous defenseman, I guarantee you they will, because that's the way that things get done these days. Big Z is definitely a good start in that direction. John Mitchell is the closest thing to a blues guitar player that I've ever seen on ice. He's a hardworking man that rolls his sleeves up, puts his nose down, and gets work done. Unfortunately, he doesn't often get good line mates to work with. And to make some other people's arguments for them, he often doesn't show up for long when he does. He's a 31-year-old question mark with 7 years experience, and he's got a contract that costs us $1.8 million per year. But what happens to a John Mitchell when you have young players coming up? Do you lose sight of all the different things that he can do for you, the different positions he can play for you, the places he can step in when he needs to? He's a depth player, and when he needs to step up, he typically does. You just can't count on it for more than a couple weeks at a time. I say all these things to you because I'm conflicted about the future of John Mitchell. I like the guy, but I don't think that the Avalanche want to continue to spend that money when they can bring somebody up who's young and let them get some experience and smaller dollars. To get rid of John Mitchell, we would have to trade him, and that means that somebody else would have to want him. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I have a hunch that we could probably get a little something for him if we tried. Either way, I'm a fan of Johnny Mitchell, and I want the best for him regardless of where that is. For those of you old enough to know who the Sticks are, you'll get this.
Como arigato, Mr. Roboto, como.
Fun fact, that's the song that broke the Sticks up. But in the case of the Colorado Avalanche, Como's actually brought a lot of people together. He has tenacity, he has meanness, and he earns every bit of his $2.4 million. If he plays next year like he did this year, which was his second best year ever, I think he's worth keeping around. So to him, I say thank you very much, Mr. Roboto. Thank you. Clearly, we've been at this long enough to get a little bit silly, but there are a couple more names that we must touch upon. Do you remember back when I said that we'd talk about Francois Beauchemin a little bit later? Well, it's later now. We're going to talk a little bit about him. He's a 35-year-old defenseman who played pretty good up until the point where we wore him out, where we made his age look like an issue. We overuse this man way too much. If we can find a way to not use him that much, I think he's worth every bit of the money we pay him, the leadership we get out of him in the locker room, and his play on the ice. True, he's an old dude, but he's an old dude who can still get it done. He's a GSD. Get shit done. That's what he does, that's what he helps others to do, and that's what we need right now. I hope we can find a way to keep him on the roster because I don't see anybody else taking him. But then we have a man who is actually older than Beauchemin, and it's starting to show a little bit in his 5-on-5 play. If Jerome McGinley was running for president, I would probably vote for him. But that doesn't mean anything when you're playing NHL hockey, and unfortunately, his skill set is on the power play right now. Our entire power play is all about getting him the puck so that he can score goals, and I'm pretty sure he put up at least 12 or 13 this year. Iggy is a legend, but unfortunately, that legend is costing us $5.333333333 million a year right now. He's too old to keep up with our younger players, and sadly, his job on the ice is becoming that of a Cody McLeod. He can still put the puck in the net, but he spends a lot of time just pushing people around and punching them in the face at this point. If we were all taking a hit off the dream pipe, my dream would be this. Jerome McGinley gets some line mates that absolutely gel with what he does and can hold onto the puck long enough for him to get in position and score a lot of goals next year. And who knows, maybe we'll wrap this up with a walk-off into the sunset for Mr. McGinley. Carl Soderberg is like a Swedish Terminator. I love this guy. I think he plays really good hockey, and I have no problem with the contract that we have him for. $4.75 million a year, and he earns every dollar of it. He shows up every single night. He plays Carl hockey, and he even has a shirt over at AvsFam because we love him so much. So go check that out, absfam.com. Anyways, Carl Soderberg's contract has him with the Colorado Avalanche until 2019-2020 before he comes a free agent in the 2020-21 season. Soderberg's contract is what I believe Matthias is looking for in his contract. It's a sunset contract that allows him to play his years out here in Colorado before dropping the mic and walking off stage. Semyon Varlamov, the man, the myth, the legend, Varley. He is a really, really, really good goaltender. I would say that he is borderline elite. He's been elite in the past. He hasn't been elite so much lately, but look what he's working with. He's on a team that gives up more goals than the Bible has Psalms. Some of you might say that he's not good when we need him to be good. I might argue that we overuse him and we need to put a team around him that can play with him instead of him saving the day every single night. But I digress. We're talking contracts here. Varley has a long-term contract. His contract isn't set to expire until 2019, which sets up a really interesting year next year. Calvin Pickard will be signed and he'll be a backup goaltender. That will be his role. Varley will be the number one. But if Varley starts to slip up and doesn't show a little bit more improvement and doesn't show that he can be more consistent, I think that Pix is going to get opportunities, and this will absolutely dictate what happens to Semyon Varlamov past next year. He would still be young enough to trade and get something for, and if he's really good, he's number one that we want to keep around and have the competition between him and Pix. Either way, we're in a good spot with goalies. We have two of them, and we could get something for one of them if we absolutely had to. Right now, I think we should keep two of them. And while we're talking goalies, let's just have a little chat about Reto Berra. Berra was poised to have the comeback of the year story this year before he got slapped upside the head with the injury stick, the really silly injury stick. Had Berra got injured by being run into or by hitting somebody so hard into the boards, which he did this year and it was great, that he ended up hurting his foot, that would be one thing, but he didn't. He got his ass kicked by a soccer ball, and it's not uncommon for these players to play soccer to warm up in the back halls. There is no blame whatsoever on Berra. The only thing is it opened up the door for Pix to take his job, and that's exactly what happened. Now we have a goaltender playing in the AHL making $1.5 million a year. Reto Yogi Berra will become a free agent in the 2017-2018 season, which means that we still have him for one more year and we might consider moving him. So if you hear of somebody out there looking for a 28-year-old really large goaltender, let Joe know about it. He might appreciate that. And then there were three. We could talk about a lot more players. We have quite a few in the AHL, in the system, some that come up and down, but right now we're going to stick to the main roster, and that leaves three of them left for us to talk about, starting with everyone's favorite, Matt Duchene. It is my opinion that Matt Duchene is the heart and soul of the Colorado Avalanche, even if he doesn't wear a letter on his sweater to say so. He makes about the right amount of money, or maybe even a little bit less than a guy like him should. He has always been loyal and faithful to the Colorado Avalanche, and I think they need to reward him for that. How? By not trading the man. I understand that you have to do the best thing for the team and that if you're not going to get rid of the coaching or the management, you have to blow up the players, but I don't think Matt Duchene is the guy that you should light on fire and send over the wall. You could piss him off, you could be mean, you could say, hey, don't celebrate after goals, and he would still come play his best hockey for you, and I love that in a hockey player. I love it $6 million worth, and I think that we need to keep him on the roster. Let's not trade the man. I think he's a keeper. Another player that has been slathered in trade rumors of late is Gabriel Landeskog. Why? Because he is young, he's a captain, and he's not performing to the dollar amount that we think he should. He has a contract lasting through 2021, which means the Avalanche really believe in him, and also that meant they could get him at about $5.5 million. To Landy's credit, he is a good player, and he's still a young player who is developing. He's also a very large man, which means I would expect to see a lot more physical play out of him. Especially when he's not scoring goals. And he wasn't scoring goals in the last 10 games of the season, and he wasn't out there throwing his body around either. My understanding is that he was really put out and pissed off with the way that the season went, and I think he absolutely should be. Because if he is not, then he doesn't come with the same heart and soul as Matt Duchene, and maybe he's on the trade block. But alas, I don't think this is a good idea for either of them. I think what we need to do is hold the course. I think we need to keep our core together and still go at it and see if we can build around them. If we can't do that after one more year, then maybe it's time to blow things up. But for now, let's keep our lighters in our pockets, okay? Eric Johnson is the last player that we're going to talk about today for two reasons. One, because he is the last player on the list with the longest contract, and also because I am the most conflicted with him right now. He just signed a huge contract, a hey, we really, 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 really like you contract from the Colorado Avalanche, and he didn't play great hockey. Eric Johnson can also be an elite player, and I think that he needs to become that elite player now. He's 28 years old, and as a defenseman, that means he's entering his prime. It's time for him to step up and be the guy that we saw in the preseason and the guy that we all know that he can be. Fly, Condor, fly. I don't think the Avs are ready to give up on him yet, and I also don't think that it would be a good idea if they did, so I expect that he will stay right where he is, and he'll get another chance to earn that money that he got. And that, my friends, concludes the contracts to consider. The Colorado Avalanche have a lot of work to do. They have a lot of things to consider, and they have a lot of people to pay money to. How that's going to go and what they're going to do, I have no idea, but I still have faith in Y, still have faith in Sakic, and I'm going to give this another year before I lose my mind and start going apeshit on Twitter. This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by AvsFam, AvsFam.com. Go check them out. They're awesome. You're awesome. Get together. Make more awesome. And if you like this podcast, then tell your friends about it and go subscribe at iTunes. Search for Colorado Hockey or just go to ColoradoHockey.com and click on the button that says get it on iTunes. Stay awesome.